time certain, please read items 1022 and 1023 together.
1022, accept the residential garbage recycling and composting collection 2018 franchise review report. And 1023, grant residential solid waste recycling and composting collection franchises in the city.
Colleagues, BPS has completed its midterm review of the franchise system that governs residential garbage and recycling collection. At the council's discretion, the review is focused on advancing equity in the franchise agreements. We were initially concerned that the franchise system presents many barriers for new companies, especially minority-owned businesses. We have two items from the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability today. First, BPS is asking us to accept the 2018 Franchise Review Report, which summarizes the franchise review process, findings, and recommendations. The report includes the waste equity work plan, so by accepting the report, we're directing them to go forth and work with the community and other city bureaus to advance equity and diversity in the waste and recycling industry. Second, we're holding a hearing on the franchise agreement governing residential garbage and recycling collection. The revised franchise agreement includes changes that will improve the ability of the current and future franchisees to secure financing, increase transparency in the franchise transfer process, and require consideration of equity and diversity in future reviews. We won't be voting on the franchise agreement itself today. The city charter requires that we wait 30 days for a vote. Here today to tell us about this work are Jill Kulluk and Ariana Sperry from BPS. Welcome and thank you for being here.
Thank you and good morning.
Good
Mayor
morning.
I'm Jill Kulluk with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. And we're bringing forward two items this morning, a report and the first reading of an ordinance to adopt a new franchise agreement governing the collection of residential garbage, recycling, and composting. Every 5 years, the city reviews the residential waste and recycling franchise system to assess whether it is meeting the goals and is still in the public interest. BPS completed the most recent midterm review, drafted a revised agreement, and is now recommending that council vote to adopt the new agreement. A quick note on process, city charter that governs the franchise adoption process is very prescriptive. If there's any amendments to the franchise agreement before the vote, the whole process must begin again, and our goal is to bring this back to you in early November. When council launched the franchise review process in August of 2017, they adopted a set of guiding principles to provide focus for the review, including two that directed BPS to consider diversity and equity in the franchise system. The two new guiding principles are increased participation of women and minority workers, and two, reduce barriers to economic opportunities for minority and women-owned companies. The most important outcome of this process was a recognition that trying to advance diversity and equity when only considering a small portion of the waste and recycling system was difficult and would leave out significant opportunities. For example, only 20% of the waste is generated in a residential sector governed by the franchise system. The commercial and multifamily sectors offer greater opportunities and more varied opportunities for minority and women-owned companies. We need to look at the system as a whole in order to identify those opportunities and develop a comprehensive plan for how we will advance diversity and equity in Portland's waste and recycling system. And that is what we've done. We've created a waste equity work plan that documents BPS's commitment to doing this work. Implementation of the work plan will be guided by a waste equity advisory group. And that's the first item that we bring to you this morning. To aid in our accountability to the community, we're asking you to accept the 2018 Franchise Review Report and attached waste equity work plan. So now I'm going to turn it over to Ariane. She's been the lead on the project. She will describe our process, the findings, changes to the proposed franchise agreement, and the actions in the work plan.
Thanks, Jill. When we embarked on the franchise review last fall, we really dug deeply into the guiding principles. How do we increase participation of women and minority workers? How can we reduce barriers to economic opportunities for minority-owned and women-owned companies? As you know, it's our practice at BPS to incorporate equity into all of our work, so we are excited to apply the equity lens to the garbage and recycling system. We convened a group of about 20 folks to help us explore and develop this work. It included some current franchisees as well as stakeholders representing the interests of minority-owned companies, many of whom are here today. We began with research to learn about the current situation. We interviewed the stakeholders to learn about current practices, as well as perceived barriers for potential new entrants into the franchise system. Current franchisees collected demographic data from their employees. We also researched solutions from other industries and reached out to other jurisdictions to learn from them. Before jumping into findings, I'd like to go over a few terms so that we're on the same page. COBID certified is an umbrella term for all businesses that are certified by the state, including minority-owned businesses, women-owned businesses, emerging small businesses. And when referring to certified minority-owned businesses and women-owned businesses, as we often have in this project, we sometimes use the shorthand MWBEs.
Thank you.
Now on to the findings. Overall, our franchise system is serving Portland well on most counts. We have top-notch recycling and composting system, and customers indicate high levels of satisfaction with their service. The demographic survey showed the franchise workforce is as diverse as Portland's overall, with around 25% people of color. However, women are a small fraction of the workforce, and both women and people of color are underrepresented in management. In terms of company ownership, to the best of our understanding, all franchise owners are white. We do have two franchises that are majority women-owned. Our research did identify multiple barriers that face small businesses interested in becoming franchisees, including access to market information and access to capital. And of all the barriers, access to capital is probably the most critical. This is a very capital-intensive industry. The main thing is the trucks, which cost upwards of $300,000 each, and you need several to provide the garbage, recycling, composting collection, and probably have a backup. But you also need to buy roll carts for customers and have billing and customer service systems in place. Other barriers include opportunities to build relevant experience, as well as just the sheer number of opportunities to purchase a franchise territory. When the franchise was developed in 1992, all companies that were currently providing residential service received a franchise, which at the time was 69 companies. Since then, there's been consolidation as family-run businesses retire and sell their companies, and now we have 12 franchisees. So over time, opportunities to get into the system are dwindling. And these barriers exist for any small business, but they're amplified for minority-owned and women-owned companies due to historic inequities, such as the documented discrimination in capital markets. So we looked at a number of options for reducing these barriers. We considered letting the franchise expire and bidding the residential collection out competitively. But none of the stakeholders around the table supported that approach. We also looked at re-slicing the franchise pie to create one or more zones intended for new entrants to the franchise system. And we really struggled with how to do this in a way that could set everyone up for success in such a capital-intensive industry. We're still interested in revisiting this approach in a few years' time, but we reached the conclusion that we first need to build capacity, and there are lots of opportunities for that if we expand the pie outside of just the residential franchise. We realized we could be more strategic and achieve more sustainable progress by looking at this system as a whole. In order to document our commitments to advance equity and diversity across all the sectors of the waste and recycling industry, we developed a new waste equity work plan, which is incorporated into the 2018 franchise review report. Along with the work plan, we are proposing a waste equity advisory group to guide implementation of the work plan and track progress. So what's in the work plan? First, we're walking our talk with our own city contracts. We're looking to overhaul the procurement approach for collection services at city offices and facilities. This is currently structured as one big contract that pays about $900,000 a year, but it isn't accessible to small companies. We'd like to change that. We're also doing a lot of work right now to expand collection of public trash containers. When we finish installing new trash cans on sidewalks throughout the city, we anticipate the contracts will total $2 million annually. As we expand, we want to increase access for minority-owned and women-owned companies. Beginning in early 2019, BPS is going to embark on a big look at our multifamily program, which currently lags behind single family, both in terms of program performance as well as the level of service provided to tenants. We will engage a broad set of stakeholders and identify ways, including additional regulatory controls, to improve multifamily recycling performance, bring equitable service to tenants, and provide equitable access to minority-owned and women-owned companies. Other work plan highlights include: franchisees will submit annual plans describing the actions they will take to advance diversity, equity, and inclusion in their workplaces and operations, including their relationships with diverse vendors, suppliers, and subcontractors. All permanent haulers will submit annual workforce demographic data, and we'll use it to set goals and evaluate progress toward improved women and minority participation in the workforce across all organizational levels. We will partner with workforce development organizations and Metro to implement best practices for increasing workforce diversity, including connecting employers to pools of qualified job candidates and providing technical support and training. We will identify options for prioritizing delivery of garbage to facilities owned by COBID-certified companies. And finally, we'll reconsider the creation of new entrance zones in the franchise prior to the next midterm review. Turning now to the franchise agreement, the ordinance in front of you includes several changes. We've added diversity and equity to the list of factors BPS will consider in future franchise reviews. We will require franchisees that want to sell or subcontract their franchise to first reach out to minority and women-owned companies on a registry of interested parties that BPS will maintain. The term of the agreement has been extended from 10 years to 12 years to help current franchisees continue to make investments in new vehicles and allow potential new entrants a longer-term contract to recoup initial investments. And there is a new process that allows franchisees to divide franchise territories for sale. In conclusion, this review process has brought to light a number of limitations and complexities in our current system that make it difficult for new entrants. This is especially true if we're only seeing the problem through the lens of the residential franchise. It can be difficult to solve for root causes of inequity without being able to look at interventions across the larger system, which is why we expanded our focus and created the Waste Equity Work Plan. We expect the actions identified in the work plan to create greater economic opportunities for minority and women-owned businesses than the franchise system alone. We appreciate the time that everyone has taken to engage with us in this conversation. It's been a really committed group of folks, and a lot of them have pledged to continue to work with us as we implement work plan actions moving forward. And we know that more process isn't really an exciting outcome, but for BPS staff, this is a pretty big deal. We're committing to an equity process that goes way beyond the scope and timeline of a periodic franchise review, and we believe this process will create more sustained change that succeeds over time. Our interest is not in maintaining the status quo, but in continuously improving the system to be a viable economic opportunity in our city for local businesses. And we see this not as the end point, but as the beginning. As a reminder, here are the two actions we are recommending, and we're happy to take questions.
Mayor, colleagues, Commissioner Fish.
So thank you for an excellent presentation. I have a number of questions. I think for anybody watching your presentation, they will be surprised if they don't have a depth of knowledge of this issue to learn that we don't consider multifamily development to be residential. Mm-hmm. And since it is largely residential, but by virtue of the definitions is excluded from what we regulate, so we only regulate 20% of the market, what is the best explanation you can offer as to why multifamily is not treated as residential?
The residential system is for single-family homes, duplexes, triplexes, and fourplexes. So it's for development that receives a similar type of service. It's very homogeneous in nature. And so we can set the rates for that service and set those service standards very easily.
So, but let's assume that we really wanted to take our MWBE to the next level. isn't the opportunity that's in front of us to regulate multifamily waste collection and just set some hard numbers for MWB the way Seattle did?
We definitely are interested in regulating the multifamily for the regulations around that and looking at that being a way to do no entrance into the system.
But isn't that, if we really wanted to put some extra teeth into our commitment to equity, mm-hmm. wouldn't we have on the table a proposal to take multifamily properties, franchise it, and create some hard numbers targets for MWBE?
Well, we do see trying to figure out the multifamily puzzle, and our stakeholders were limited to really the hauling community, so property managers weren't in the mix, tenants weren't in the mix, so we felt like that next step in our work plan was to expand the stakeholder groups so those folks are at the table and then figure out what we need to do, because we know there's a problem there that could be solving not only service inequities but also opportunities.
But if we're setting this up for a if we're extending the agreement by 12 years, and I understand the argument in terms of predictability and financing, aren't we postponing this conversation indefinitely, or is there some interim opportunity to have that conversation?
Yeah, so the multifamily conversation is a separate conversation and can happen outside of the residential franchise. So we can decide what we want to do with that system moving forward outside of the residential franchise. And we are going to review the residential franchise 5 years from now. So we continue to review it every 5 years.
So if we wanted to speed that up and do it in a time frame that's quicker than 5 years, but you've admonished us not to put any amendments on the table, so because of the way this is prescribed, how do we accelerate the process for evaluating a multifamily franchise system with you getting what you need today?
Yeah, that's part of the work plan. So that is in the work plan now, that beginning in early next year, we are going to launch that look at multifamily.
So the other piece of my interest here is the difference between how Seattle has tackled this issue and the way we're approaching it. Am I correct that Seattle has set hard numbers for set-asides?
It was my understanding that they used to have that, and they don't anymore.
How can we confirm that? Because that's if your understanding was that they used to have hard numbers and don't anymore, do we know why they don't have that approach anymore?
I thought that it was not considered to be legal.
So I'd request some follow up on that, because that's slightly different than the information I was given, but maybe my information is out of date. Mayor, I appreciate that it's in the next 5-year work plan, but again, I think to the average person, the notion that a multifamily property is not residential is sounds like a difference without a distinction. And since we're only regulating 20% of the market here, and since we're committed to having more participation by MWBE firms, I'd like to see an acceleration of the timeline for us to consider whether there's an opportunity to franchise multifamily. And if so, whether we can advance some of our equity goals in doing so.
Right. And mm-hmm. we will be working on the multifamily work more quickly than the midterm review cycle. So we'll start, we're scoping it out this winter, and then we will launch the process 2019, and we'll have a better idea of how we're going to do further regulations on the multifamily sector.
Well, without an amendment here, can you give us some certainty? Can you give us some assurance that something will be back to us within the next couple of years?
Yeah, we would hope so, yes. I mean, we hope to figure out the multifamily puzzle within 12 months, to be honest with you, depending on how we scope the process. Right. We would have to come back to council.
Okay, I'll be interested in the testimony to see whether that timeline is aggressive enough.
Okay.
So thank you.
Yeah, we have that we would wrap up that project in 2021.
Commissioner Fritz?
So you could give us a report back to council in a year or so, right?
Yep.
So that would be, I think, rather than waiting the whole 2 years, just come and let us know.
Yes.
A year from now, how it's going.
Right, on the whole work plan, all the items, including multifamily.
So you as the commissioner in charge can make that happen, can't you, Matt?
Well, I think we're making it part of the legislative record, so let's assume it is the case, and if there's any question about the assumption, I'll make it an executive directive. Commissioner Saltzman.
So just to be clear, so you will be coming back not 5 years from now, but a year from now. Is that
right? So the work plan will have a different timeline than the residential franchise mid-year review. So the work plan has a lot of items in there that will be coming back and be working on a different timeline, and the multifamily is a pretty significant chunk of that.
Okay. I was impressed with your report, and I was intrigued by a couple options put on the table to potentially provide more opportunities for others to provide residential waste collection services in the city of Portland. So the two that stuck out to my mind as intriguing are the notion that the city would, at the end of the current 12 years, purchase the franchises and then reallocate them based on perhaps new criteria. Or the other would be at the end of the 12-year period, the franchises be put out to bid. Could you just briefly address maybe the pros and cons of each one of those?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Should we talk about that again?
So we did look at both of those, and the franchise system has enormous benefits to ratepayers and has really helped our recycling goals, encouraged recycling and composting, given us one of the highest recovery rates in the country. And the stakeholders around the table, all of them, organizations representing the interests of minority-owned companies, as well as the current franchisees, were all in agreement that the franchise system has many benefits and there was not an interest in letting it expire. That was one of the options that we considered and was taken off the table early due to consensus.
But your recommendation to possibly assume the franchises back or purchase them back does not necessarily mean we would abandon the franchise system. It means we would simply reallocate the franchise.
Oh, yes. So creating new entrance zones, and we agree that there is a need for a new entrance zone. To do this, we need to make sure there are companies that are ready to take on the zone and have the financial capacity and management and operations experience. To be successful, we know that a new entrant would need to invest, depending on the size of the franchise, even the smallest franchise, would be a minimum of $1 million. And our rates that we set are based on average costs, but a new entrant would have very high initial costs. So they would need to be well financed to cover those high initial investments. And we did a request for information to identify potential companies, but it was a kind of a chicken and egg thing where, because we weren't bidding out a real opportunity yet, companies were unable to provide us with sufficient details to assure their financial and technical capacity. And so that's when we pivoted to look for options to create those new opportunities to build capacity outside of the residential franchise in the near term, and then at the same time exploring how to create a new zone within existing single-family or multifamily system moving forward.
So the option to purchase them back and then reallocate them, I guess, if you're going to do something that's you know, that radical in the scheme of things, it seems like the earlier you signal you're going to look at something like that, the better, both for the current franchise holders and also for those potential new entrants. Mm-hmm. I mean, if they know,
right,
let's say, you know, 2 years into a 12-year franchise,
right,
that there's going to be a new way of doing the business at the end of those 10 years, then those potential new entrants have something to focus on, and frankly, the current franchise holders also know, you know, the certainty that things are going to change after 12 years.
Right.
Potentially change.
Right, exactly.
So I guess I'm just concerned that if you, I mean, I think that's a very promising idea that should be seriously looked at. I know we can say we can solve all the problems in the multifamily sector if we just go there, but I also know that there is going to be a fierce resistance to that. This is not an easy thing to do. You know, apartment owners, others are really going to mobilize. So it's not just, you know, take it for granted, we'll just move to multifamily and solve all our problems there. So I do think I think it's an intriguing idea that we should look and, you know, maybe within that one-year report, come back with an estimate, you know, some ideas about how to potentially do that at the end of the 12-year term. As well as putting them out to bid, although I understand, you know, the advantages of the franchise system, too, has served us well. I understand that. But that doesn't mean that can't be accomplished through a well-prescribed opportunities to bid as well. Mm-hmm. But I just, you know, in all fairness to everybody, the more time you give to people, both current franchise holders and potential new entrants, the more likely those new entrants will be ready to step up at the time and purchase franchise from the city.
Yes, we have 13 people signed up. You want to speak on this one? That's it. Yeah, the second page. The first three are Charles Bridge Crane Johnson, James Posey, and did Dave and Giancarlo Cargney. Did you want to come up together or testify for this item? Yeah, I've got Dave Cargney and Giancarlo.
Good morning, Commissioners. For the record, Charles Bridge Crane Johnson. And action is going to need to be taken to improve the way we've really failed to serve particularly people of color in minority-owned businesses, but also women-owned enterprise small business workers. So even though Mr. Commissioner Fish is correct when he talks about the need to also look at multifamily where trash is taken into large dumpsters picked up over the top of the truck instead of the small curbside buckets. Since those issues have been separated, I encourage you to move forward with this based on what we hear from the really most impacted people that will be testifying after me, people who are in those minority groups that are impacted. What they're going to add is much more important than what me as a person who just looks at the Greuters bill that comes to over by Division 46 and says, do I even know if this is a minority-owned business or a women-operated business or how they're handling equity? So the PDF package that came with this was rather long, and I can't claim to be an expert who comprehensively received it. The one thing I haven't heard talked about maybe as much as should be is the metrics. Where are we going to see the actual numbers that improve our ability to help make this a less patriarchal business? I know when I watch from the curb, I wouldn't really necessarily wish, you know, I hope people are, it's a transitory career. But we know that in other cities that have union garbage, that people can, we're always going to need garbage people. So maybe it needs to be structured so that you can get a living wage doing that work. Also, in the bigger picture, especially as we look at branching out to regulate possibly commercial, or at least commercial residential, we know that the whole industry has been shaken by the way China handles garbage. So I think we also need to be looking at partnership with academia to really get a handle on making these businesses resilient and having government and academic resources so that Oregonians can take care of their own garbage without putting it in a boat to go across the ocean. I know that works well for New York City at our end, but you know, it's really, there's no equity in that saying like, oh, garbage is complicated. Let's send it to some poor colored people. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Commissioner, Mayor. Actually, I just came this morning to support you all's agenda to take a close look at this system. I recounted to one of my friends that I remember back in the day when my grandfather was hauling garbage in Indianapolis, and I worked on the back of his truck with a flatbed, and we were going through alleys with 55-gallon drums picking up garbage. We had all kinds of animals running out of those 55-gallon drums, and it was an area in which black people in fact, could make a living back in the day. And I thought the irony of us coming today to talk about cracking this particular, what I consider a monopoly, historical a monopoly that's benefited everybody except people of color here in the latter years, and how this whole idea of inclusion and wealth building really focuses on you all changing policies that will actually break up historically what's been a closed system. And I suggest to you, when you all are talking about this, when you talk about 12-year terms and holding things out for 12 years, that's an eternity. It's an eternity in terms, I don't even know if I'm going to be around 12 years. And most of you sitting on this commission may not be here in 12 years. So I think what you do here today relative to analyzing this piece that you build in as much flexibility and as much ability to change the system as we go along, particularly in the area of making sure that there is access. $1 million, I don't know if any of you could come up with $1 million so you could be an entrance into this process. So you're going to have to ask your people to go about, who developed this plan, to not only look at the idea that we're trying to develop equity, but what's common sense, reasonable, and how do we structure this so that we have a pathway for people to actually get in? We're not standing still here. It's not where you're standing still and you jump right into this process. So I'm suggesting to you, this is a good process in terms of looking at this, but you have to go back and redesign it so you can really be functional in terms of making it a viable access for people of color. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. And I was somewhat negligent. We had two invited guests that I'd like to bring up at this point. I apologize for inadvertently skipping over that. Kristen Mitchell, who is the Executive Director of the Oregon Refuse and Recycling Association, and Mr. Nate McCoy, who's the Executive Director of NAMAC Oregon, otherwise known as the National Association of Minority Contractors, the Oregon chapter. My apologies and welcome, and thank you for being here.
Good morning, Mayor Wheeler and members of the council. Thank you very much for having me here this morning. My name is Kristen Mitchell. I am the Executive Director of Oregon Refuse and Recycling Association. I'm here subbing in for Beth Vargas Duncan, who is our regional director, and she has been working on this issue for the past year. She had a commitment that she had made about a year ago and wasn't able to change that, so I am here in her place this morning. Thank you. So the members of Portland Haulers Association are all of the residential franchise holders in Portland. Nine of them are small family-owned companies, and every one of them has been providing service and working cooperatively with the city's Bureau of Planning and Sustainability staff to provide safe, modern, and efficient waste collection services that include garbage and recycling and compost or organics collection, as we call it, at reasonable rates for the residents of this city. The franchise agreement's important to all of our efforts to meet many significant goals that the city has set on safety, environmental protection, and efficient service. But I'd like to focus on two of those goals, as those are the conversations that are before us today. The first is equity, to advance in equity and open new doors of opportunity. And the second is to stabilize current franchise operations and allow for necessary financing to continue forward the access to capital issue. First, I'm here in coordination with NAMAC in support of the franchise agreement and to assure you that our commitment to working with the city and other partners to identify ways to open doors for new entrants in the waste management industry is a long-term commitment. Over the last year, PHA, NAMAC, and other community partners have been working with the city BPS staff to advance new equity and diversity goals outlined in the new franchise agreement. This has been hard and important work. There have been difficult moments in this process. It would be disingenuous to suggest otherwise, but what could have been polarizing has actually been uniting. In fact, our group efforts are also leading to individual relationship efforts outside of the city's regulatory process. The franchise renewal agreement serves as a foundation and framework to govern these ongoing efforts. Once the new renewal is in place, we can move forward into the next phase of the work plan that will determine how we meet the terms of the agreement. It will be how we identify strategies to reduce barriers to new entrants, how we expand opportunities for new entrants, and how we meet new goals for increasing opportunities across the industry for more women and minorities to succeed and grow in careers in this industry. PHA members are here today to demonstrate that their commitment is strong to work with NAMAC, the city, and others in the community, and to share our expertise in the industry, including our own challenges, in navigating the business of waste management in a volatile economic climate, while also helping to identify ways to reduce the barriers to entering and growing a business or career in waste management. As I stated earlier, this work with to set clear targets and outcomes to measure success with strong accountability goals can only begin if there is a framework to guide that work, and the franchise agreement is that framework. Second, the franchise agreement is not only critical but urgent to meet the basic needs of financing. This need would be true for new entrants and current franchise owners alike. Access to capital is critical for any company to succeed, and any business needs a solid agreement with clear terms in place before a lender will provide financing for operations and capital, such as clean fleet vehicles, one of the city's environmental goals. Those trucks cost in the range of $330,000 to $370,000, depending on the type of truck. If the original timeline for renewal had been met, franchise owners would be entering into their second year of a new agreement. So this one-year delay has caused tremendous strain on some of these companies. With an agreement, these companies can secure the loans they need to meet the expectations of current and future agreements, have certainty for their employees, who they employ in family wage jobs with excellent benefits, and allow them to continue to provide exemplary service to the residents of Portland. Furthermore, the certainty of a franchise renewal allows our members to look forward to planning and working with the city and other partners like NAMAC to meet all the goals set by this renewal. In conclusion, for many decades, Portland Haulers Association members have demonstrated a strong commitment to providing excellent service to the residents of Portland while also producing sustainable results and consistent operational safety. We bring that strong record of commitment to advancing the next phase of work to increase opportunity and reduce barriers for new entrants at every level in the waste management industry. We look forward to strengthening our relationship with NAMAC, continuing to partner with the city, and continuing to provide the people of Portland with reliable, sustainable, and safe solid waste management services. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Mayor. I'm happy to answer your questions.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Mayor, Commissioners, thank you for having me again this morning. I'm Nate McCoy, Executive Director of NAMAC Oregon, for the record. I'm here solely today to kind of echo the unity that I think over the last year we've had. In fall of last year, I think we all came into this, the haulers and some of our NAMAC contractors, a little guarded, I think, with kind of what we thought the system should be, could be, and what the ultimate outcomes we were looking for. I wanted to thank personally real quick the city staff of BPS, Arian and Bruce, the haulers, of course, Jeremy Hayes, Desiree Williams, Raji, who was the consultant who helped convene this committee, and then just the stakeholders wrestling around the table. What I've been fortunate to have, given that I'm on a lot of committees, is a group that was eager to actually wrestle with some of the uncertain equity initiatives of BPS and, you know, and what the commitments looked like. And they brought data, and we had an analysis of what the industry could be and should be. The one thing that I would say is a caveat is that we want to see a little bit more folks in the management levels in the workforce. We saw great numbers of people who actually do a lot of the dumping and picking up and hauling, a little less of the management level and entrepreneurial side of the equity agenda. But I think there was a willingness through this equity work plan to really figure out how that could, you know, could play out to really show that there's some growth within coming into this industry up into a management or even starting your own hauling business. One of the things that I think we've all concluded with is it's very different when a minority or a person of color goes into a bank to access a loan versus our white counterparts. And that is a huge priority for kind of this working group going forward. And one of the things that I've thrown out there would be great for our commissioners to consider is as folks go out there to access loans, it seems like an appropriate step for this leadership to guarantee some of these loans, especially when we're talking about facilities that the city owns, parks, public cans. What better than having the backing of a government agency saying, as these minority and potential women come in as new entrants, that we are backing them and making sure that they can access the kind of loans they need to buy equipment, to sustain a workforce, and to grow and prosper. These are the things I hear you all speak about, and that's the part that I really want to make sure we wrestle with going forward. The other comment I would say is one that Nick pointed out earlier, multifamily, huge opportunity, hugely, with Metro having a bond, the Portland Housing Bureau currently having a bond, and Home Forward, who has been a partner at the table. You know, we want to carry these conversations forward because we want to expand the pie bigger than, you know, and be bolder than I think we all imagine today. And lastly, what I will say is I also agree that, you know, the midterm review is a priority, but I agree that there should be a yearly check-in. And I've asked of each of your guys' offices to have an appointed person from your office to ensure that that we are meeting the milestones and goals that we sought out, because 5 years is not too long, but to have a constant check-in, quarterly, yearly, I think is a way to ensure that we're holding everybody accountable. And lastly, I guess I will make one more quick comment. Technical assistance. You know, we threw out there, and I think BPS is definitely going to propose this, but we've already got a program that works well, the Prime Contractor Development Program. It is where all of our minority contractors and women-owned businesses find themselves competing for work against each other, not the big boys, getting technical assistance, getting access to capital. And what better than recreating the wheel to throw new entrants and potentially new certified firms into this program that has worked for City of Portland? And it allows us to have the set-aside that we all hope could give them some competitive advantage or a little bit fairness in the industry, because most of the haulers have years of experience and years of contacts and books of business that would be hard to compete with for any new entrant. So I just really want to stress the fact that we have some tangibles, we have some metrics, and I think we just want to make sure that our leadership across our five commissioners, the mayor included, that we have people there committed from your office to ensure that staff and our stakeholder groups are really stretching and really trying to create more opportunities. And I feel good about where we are, and we would hope that you guys would approve this so we can move forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Commissioner Fish.
Nate, I was intrigued by something you said, and I just want to make sure I understood it. I like the idea of taking bond-funded projects. So this would be typically new construction, mm-hmm. new multifamily, because there might be pre-existing relationships with our preservation agenda. But in these new developments, you're suggesting that not only could we potentially carve out multifamily development where the city is a participant, where we're helping to finance. It's new, so it's additive. Yep. And at the same time, guarantee some of the look at the access to capital issues and guarantee some loans. Carve out a piece of that business, franchise it, and see whether we could bring some greater MWBE participation. Is that
Absolutely.
Roughly what you're saying?
Yes. Yes.
I think it's another reason why we should hope that the 26 199 passes, but that's $250 million of bond proceeds just going to Multnomah County. We've got $60 million or so or more in the pipeline that hasn't been spent on the housing bond. So that's a lot of purchasing power.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Yes.
Can I just briefly answer what I think is an operational question that Commissioner Fish asked about the multifamily versus the residential franchise? One of the reasons that it's different is because of the operational issues. When you are picking up a 2, 3, or 4-plex, those are generally carted service with the same kind of truck. When you're picking up a large multifamily residence, that tends to be a front-load truck with a different, you know, like what you would think of as a dumpster for collection, which is a different kind of routing and a different kind of equipment. And I just wanted to make sure that difference was understood about why that's not in the residential franchise now currently and why it's a conversation we can have going forward. And to Commissioner Saltzman's question kind of on the length of term, the 12-year term was something that the stakeholder group talked about quite a bit. And one of the reasons we felt that was good was that it would allow a better access to capital, because when lenders look at things, they look at the length of the time you have for the contract. So as you move through that, the closer you get to what could be the end time, the less possible it is to obtain financing to purchase those expensive trucks or do the things you need to do in capitalization. So I just wanted to clarify those 2 points. Thank you.
Thank you both. Thank you. Thanks, Nate. Yes, please.
Okay, the next public testimony are Dave and Giancarlo Cardini, and if Brian and Jess Heiberg also want to come up, just pull up a chair. And they'll be followed by Andre Baugh, Valerie Gruther-Hill, and Alex Witter.
Good morning. Would you like to start, sir?
Sure.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mayor Wheeler and City Council members. My name is Brian Heiberg. I'm here joined with my niece, Jessie Heiberg. Jessie is our third generation of our family-owned and operated business, Heiberg Garbage and Recycling. Jessie is an integral part of our company. As the office manager and customer service supervisor, she is here today to experience the pleasure of public speaking, which I dread, and in front of a crowd of people, you are elected officials. I expect her to take this role over from me in the near future.
That's great.
My parents purchased their first collection company in Portland in 1947. And last year, my brother Bruce and I proudly celebrated 70 years of Heiberg Garbage providing garbage and recycling collection here to our customers in the city of Portland. I have met with many of you before and testified about the history of our company, our work with the city in setting up the franchise collection system back in 1992, and the large investment we've made in clean-burning compressed natural gas trucks, including an on-site fueling station. In fact, Heiberg Garbage was the first Portland franchised collector to purchase and operate compressed natural gas trucks in Portland. We have done so to do our part to address the air quality in the city. I have also provided information about diversity of our workforce and the commitment to providing family wage jobs and good benefits to contribute to the economic growth of our city. Our commitment to all of these values remains strong. We have been operating without a renewal in place for the last year, which has been difficult for many reasons. One of the unfortunate results of this delay has been that we have had to purchase diesel trucks instead of compressed natural gas trucks. The uncertainty of the franchise renewal and the additional cost of these compressed natural gas vehicles of $25,000 to $35,000 more is something our small company could not overcome. Nor could we secure the financing we would need to to cover the increased expense. We're committed to our customers, our employees, and the service we provide for the city. We have worked collaboratively with city staff and other stakeholders represented in this room today on the language and terms of both documents. We are now at a critical point. If this agreement does not advance, locally owned companies like ours will be hurt. It will jeopardize our ability to continue to provide the award-winning service we do in a way that advances the key goals of the city. It will certainly halt the advancement of new goals as outlined in the agreement before you. In addition to addressing climate change, this agreement is essential to advancing the other guiding principles, ensuring cost-effective, safe, and environmentally sound operations, providing exemplary customer service, and developing a resilient and equitable system. As you have heard from others today, the Portland haulers share the values of supporting a diverse industry where small, local-owned businesses and large ones can work together to provide excellent service to Portlanders and support opportunities for new entrants in the waste management industry. Hybrid Garbage and Recycling started as a small company, so we know firsthand the challenges of starting a company in waste management. We have also learned a lot over the years about...
Thank you. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to keep it moving because we're backed up a little bit here today. Sure. Thank you. You're actually very good at public speaking. Good morning.
No. You can finish
the rest. Go ahead.
Really? You did okay. We think you can probably top that, though.
It's just right there.
I'm Jesse Heiberg with Heiberg Garbage and Recycling. As Brian was saying, we started as a small company, so we know firsthand the challenges of starting a company in waste management. We've also learned a lot over the years about how to manage a successful company through the volatile periods that come into our industry. The market changes, those are out of our control, cost increases, policy increases, changes that influence how we provide service to our customers. Our hope is that we can use our expertise and lessons learned, both the good and what we wish we would have known, to help potential new entrants. We also want to help use our experience to shape the administrative rules that govern this agreement so that the rules support an up-and-coming company and everyone is set up for success, the companies and the customers alike. We're here today in support of this long-term process and with a straightforward request. We ask that you accept the Franchise Review Report and Waste Equity Work Plan and direct that the ordinance come back for a vote next month for approval. None of this important work can advance without the renewal of the franchise. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
She's a much better speaker than I am.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Mayor Wheeler and members of the City Council, thank you for the opportunity to speak briefly today about the Portland Franchise Agreement for Residential Recycling and Garbage Service. My name is Dave Carney, and this is my son, Giancarlo Carney. We are here representing Portland Disposal and Recycling, a local, family-owned business that has been serving customers in Portland for over 80 years. There are seven principal owners, including myself, and each of us individually has a minimum of 39 years in the business. We are committed to our customers and our employees. We share the values of Portland. We have been effective partners with you and many others in this room and remain committed to those partnerships. We are here to urge you to support the franchise agreement after a year of discussions. You have heard other haulers and our association speak to many issues: our safety records, investments in clean fleets, new technologies, and excellent customer service. Portland Disposal is committed to continuing these achievements and is proud of the reputation our industry has built. I'm here today to represent a company that has always valued diversity, and those values have guided how we hire, operate, and elevate those within our company. We employ 85 people from diverse backgrounds, and we are always seeking new ways to expand our reach into all the communities so that our workforce represents those communities we serve. We also believe in supporting our employees so that they have opportunities to grow their skills and move up in the company when vacancies occur. Our vice president and office manager are both women, and our CFO and operations manager is of Hispanic origin. As a small company with deep roots in Portland and a diverse shareholder group, we want to be part of the efforts to expand opportunities for more diversity in our industry. But as a small company, we are also at risk when the franchise remains uncertain. The financing needs, as described earlier, are real. We want to be focusing on new ways to support more jobs in this industry and creating opportunities for new franchise owners. But without an agreement, our attention is diverted to keeping our existing customers served and employees paid. This industry in Oregon was built by business owners of varying ethnicities, including African Americans, Germans, Italians, among others. Over time, it has consolidated. Many business owners decided it was their time to retire. These hardworking men and women came to us and entrusted us with the businesses they had built. All of these businesses were purchased, which created debt and financial risk. And if I'm over, I'll let my son finish.
Very good. Thank you. Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning, John Carlo Carney. So it says, I share this because we are an industry of inclusion, one that supports each other, even though our competitors at times, because it's our core values of who we are, where we came from, and how we will continue to progress in the future. My father wants to be able to pass this company on to myself and maybe my children, knowing that the values, reputation, and integrity our business has built will continue to expand and progress for years to come. Portland is also growing rapidly. There is enough opportunity for current franchise owners to continue to provide excellent service and quality jobs while still opening the doors for new entrants. But to accomplish these goals, we must first secure a franchise agreement. I sincerely hope, and my father sincerely hopes, that we can move beyond this procedural necessity to approve the franchise and turn our attention to the work that will advance opportunities for new businesses and create the certainty that businesses like ours need to continue to operate in Portland. Thank you, and we urge your support for this agreement. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor,
all of you.
I just wanted to take a moment of privilege to personally thank the Heiberg family for their leadership on using compressed natural gas. I mean, that is no small task. As Commissioner Fish well knows, in his leadership, poop to power initiative to take methane gas from our treatment plant and use it to fuel vehicles, it is still it's not the norm. It should be, because it's a very clean source of fuel. It can even come from renewable resources like methane gas from a treatment plant. So you're stepping forward, and I am a Heiberg customer, full disclosure, and I still marvel every time I see those compressed natural gas trucks. They seem to be quieter, too. They're definitely cleaner.
They are definitely quieter, too. It solves a number of problems.
Yeah, so I just want to commend you for your leadership on that.
Thank you.
Very good. Next, three, please.
Are Andre Baugh, Valerie Gruder-Hill, and Alex Witter. And they'll be followed by Ashley Henry, Elizabeth Start, and Alondo Simpson.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Alex Witter. I am with Chetco Construction Services. I am the owner of the company. I just first want to say thank you, everyone, for coming together and hearing this. This has been a long road. Bruce Walker, Arian, Jeremy Hayes, they took 15 of us at a table that were all wanting a piece of the pie. And trust me, it got heated. A lot of it was maybe me. But, I think that we are right at the point of finding something that works. What I do want to say is that with this waste equity work plan, this will give the foundation of something that will offer equity to a small company like myself. I know that everyone keeps saying 5 years, 12 years. Those are all solid figures. Everyone also keeps saying access to capital. Access to capital is a huge part of any new business. I do have access to capital, so if that opportunity were to come sooner rather than later, I would be ready to take on that responsibility right now. Again, thank you all for your time, and I really hope we can all work together and get along.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Mayor Wheeler and members of the City Council, I'm Valerie Gruder-Hill, president of the Portland Haulers Association and owner of Gruder Sanitary Service, a family-owned garbage and recycling company serving Portland residents and businesses since 1951. My mother and father started this company. My father was an immigrant from Europe with a dream. Together, they were determined, worked hard, and fought to overcome barriers that many immigrants faced during that time to establish their company and provide for their family. I am both proud and privileged to have the opportunity to continue in my parents' footsteps to serve the people of Portland. My remarks today represent my views as both a hauler and a small business owner. As a small business owner, the franchise agreement is essential for my business to continue to operate. Operating a waste management business is very expensive, with infrastructure costs that include trucks, carts, fuel, maintenance, and more. Add to that the cost of labor. We value our employees and we pay family wages with excellent benefits. Then consider the unexpected increased costs due to the recycling market crisis. We are grateful to the work in this community. We are grateful to work in this community that supports efforts to allow our shared values to thrive. But this past year has